I think people forget that these are models and they need to pay for their food, their rent.
You can't leave for 3 months. You've got to give them a 3 month notice period.
If you want to leave and it's not working, you can leave. I wanted to set up an agency that had no hidden fees. Actually advance 25% of what you have coming in. But if you don't ask, you don't get.
Because I think a lot of these issues, they're really hard to talk about.
If you want to be a model and you want to make money, you join Body. I don't want anyone signed with me not making enough money to live. Get them in before it's a problem and we will give them the tools to take control of their life. Oh, we're going to lose clients. People are going to think you can't do that.
Counted all of the models on like the top agency website. So there's like 10,000 of them.
You
total.
Count...
Yeah, I
can't. I love that about you. I'd say about 89% comes from all overseas. Clients, they always give us feedback. They say, my God, we see the Body London army going around London. They're in their black skinny jeans. They've got their tote bag. Your guys and girls just look great. They look the part. How I lay out my light boxes to clients, I need it to be fair. I want, you know, all ethnicities. I don't want to miss anyone. I want everyone to have an equal opportunity.
There's actually people here that I can go to and talk to and be like, hello.
Let's do it. Get shit done.
Hi. Thank you very much for talking to me about this. Because, yeah, I think it's so amazing. One of the things I found the most amazing when I was writing the Model Manifesto was being able to talk to agents and actually ask them questions that no one had ever given me the opportunity to even ask before.
Yeah.
So, Gemma, I'm going to ask you some annoying, hard questions.
Okay, and really bring it on.
Yeah, because I think a lot of these issues, they're really hard to talk about. So I guess a good place to start would be like model contracts. Like, why are they so unfair? What do you think about model contracts?
Well, we are very different to any other agency. Quite simply, if we sign you, we will say on signing, if you want to leave and it's not working, you can leave. We're not going to hold you to a notice period. We have a 1 month notice period. And that is there if we have regular clients for you. So of course that makes sense, but it's restriction of trade. You can't legally stop someone wanting to go. So ours is one page, very basic, very simple. And as you know, most of the other agencies, it's not like that.
Yeah. Like, so, what are the worst contracts that you've seen from other agencies? Because I'm imagining that you would have models wanting to join you that can't.
Yeah, very long contracts with hidden fees and break clauses that it's the scaremongering, to be honest, that is the thing, because we will tell them, look, you can leave this contract. They can't legally hold you to this.
Yeah.
It is restriction of trade, but it is just the utter scaremongering, which is unacceptable. And we will say, we're just very open and we'll say, okay, you want to leave. Normally, they don't want to leave because they join us and they go, oh my gosh, well, this is just so nice and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if it does come to a point and we part ways, we will see, what options do you have? Okay, fine. We'll have a conversation and say, okay, yes, we've got 1 month, but you've got options until then. Why don't you leave after that option? It's quite straightforward. So, and I really think that is unheard of. And it does frustrate me when we're trying to get models as well that want to join us and they're saying, I can't come to you for 6 months. And we're like, you can.
Yeah, because I think that is such a huge thing. Most model agency contracts I signed said that you can't leave for 3 months. You've got to give them a 3 month notice period. And if your entire income is reliant on that agency, you have to give them 3 months notice. That will be 3 months where they're not going to give you any jobs and you can't work.
Yeah.
And then usually it takes 3 months to even get paid anything at all anyway. So that's like 6 months out of work.
Yeah.
And it's so scary to even join a new agency. So again, I think it's a really important one for people to check, because I think when you sign a contract for a modeling agency, you're so excited that you just assume, like I signed all of them. I was like, oh, now I'm
you're
studying
excited.
Law. I was like, yeah, well, I'm sure this is what must be right. But yeah, because another big part of that one, what I would normally do, what I'd advise models to do out there, is cross out the bit that relates to this power of attorney and account. Like, can you explain a bit about that advance and debt and what we were talking about essentially when a model agency might give models like pocket money? Because I know that agencies I was with where they managed to do that then charge me 10% interest on these expenses that I didn't even know that I was in.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. I wanted to set up an agency that had no hidden fees, because it happened to me, as it happened to you many times. I remember vividly one Christmas, I got my statement and I had £1,000 that had been taken off. So I called my agent and I said, what the hell is this? She said, oh, it's for, you know, the website, for cards, for courier. I said, but I didn't sign up to that. Show me where I signed up for that. Oh, but darling, you know, everyone has to pay it. I said, well, I don't accept that. So that was fundamental. One of the fundamental things for me at Body, you know, we don't take any money for cards, books. If you want pocket money, we don't charge you a percentage. What we do is we actually advance 25% of what you have coming in. So let's say you've got, you know, lots of money coming in, but it's not going to be paid for a while. We will give you 25%. But also, one thing that we have been implementing for the last 6 months, really to support our models during the cost of living, is to be pushing for payment upfront before jobs. And it was something that I did feel quite anxious about. I thought, oh my God, we're going to lose clients. People are going to think you can't do that. And then I just thought, well, hang on a minute. If I'm going to my dentist, if I'm going to my physio, I will get charged or I will have to pay upfront. So I will just say it to clients and just say, look, this is what we're doing to support our models. Like, I would really appreciate your support. And I think if you say it like that, then they kind of tend to agree. And even the big corporations who have big payment terms, we've managed to get some of them down because they agree with our, you know, support system, which has been really amazing and very positive. But if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thank you, because you paid me in advance for a job and I was like,
yeah,
what is this? Yeah. So this bit, and I think for me running what this is business, this? Yeah,
that's so
now
bad.
I've worked with companies like Disney, Google and Yahoo, and with all of them, because of my experience in modelling, I've just said, pay up front, like, I'm not doing a job if you don't pay me up front, and they all
can
do it. But it's just like what you said, if you don't ask, you don't get, and that is really, really brave of you to do. So what has helped you to feel brave enough to do that? Because I think that's a huge part of what leads model agents to, say, exploit models. But I can imagine if you've got a situation where the client, well, I know for previous agencies I've worked with, like, clients used my pictures for longer than they were allowed to. But because I had a lot of other girls with those clients, they didn't, like, raise it because they didn't want to upset the client. So how did you get the kind of strength to stand up to clients, I guess,
and ask for prepayment,
but also to, like, kind of choose your model over the client?
Yeah, you just have to do it. And I think you need to practice what you preach. And if, you know, but also it just would annoy me thinking, like we were talking earlier about certain companies, and you have to get a purchase order to put on your invoice. And some companies can be quite cheeky and they might delay giving you the PO number, which then delays the model getting paid. But I think people forget that these are models and they need to pay for their food, their rent. It's not a normal 9-to-5 job and you get paid at the end of that month. You will get paid later and later. And I thought, well, actually, it was because I had this amazing booker who started, and she said at my agency, and it was kind of like an events agency she was at, she said, we get prepayment. I thought, okay, let's do it. So that was the catalyst. It was something that I pushed for years. And a lot of my team, I would hear, oh, I don't know if it's possible. And I just kept thinking, no, it is possible. It is possible. And then getting this girl, I thought, you know what? We're going to do it.
How much would you say is the average amount that a model makes as a salary, like, per year?
Average model. I mean, most of our models make good money. If you want to be a model and you want to make money, you join Body. You know, we are the agency to make money. So most of our models make decent money, and it can fluctuate. You have girls making significant money, but I don't want anyone signed with me not making enough money to live, not making enough money to pay their rent. So we have our statistics, as we talked about. So we will have notifications if people are, you know, not booking enough or dipping below what they should be. So we will get them in before it's a problem, and we will give them the tools to take control of, you know, their life and book more jobs. and we will support them and we'll say, okay, right, this isn't working right now. What can we do? Let's make a plan.
Yeah, I think that's something so good that you do, because when I wrote the model manifesto, I counted all of the models on like the top agency website. So it was like 10,000 of them.
You count?
Yeah, I counted them.
I love that about you. That's something I would do.
I was like, because I wanted a good figure to know like how many models were in the books, like being sent for each job. And there was like 10,000. And so many agencies had like 1,000 models. And I was like, there is no, like, I remember being sent to castings and you turn up and there was like 100 girls that just looked exactly like you. And you're like, how on earth are you even, like, they're not like picking those jobs. So I would love to hear for you what that looks like. So I think that is a really good thing that Max told me, where you kind of will, the models that are not like making money, but you're not going to keep them, because I think, again, like, it's a really painful thing, because on the one hand, you've got an agency, so you're like, I've got hope there. But on the other hand, if you're just not right for an agency or their clients, then obviously it's just, it's better for you to go find an agency that is going to help you and be right for you. So like, what is the average like life cycle of a model? Can you explain like all of the kind of statistic and data points from when and someone might want to become a model with Body, like how do they even become one? And then what is the like life like for that?
Yeah. So going into the statistics, so let's say you signed with us, we will sign you, we will do our briefing with you, and then we'll do training with you.
And what are those things?
So that is casting training, how to prepare for a casting, what to say, how to present your book, how to introduce yourself to someone, all of these fundamental things that some people haven't actually been taught, because most of our board is international. I would say about 89% comes from all overseas. So some cultures are very different. So we will teach them, you know, is respectable in the UK. Hello, nice to meet you. My name is Gemma. How are you? Asking a client a question, just so finite, these things, but giving them the tools to succeed, telling them how to dress, just have a very simple outfit, black skinny jeans, black top. You don't need to spend much money. Have that be your wardrobe all the time. So you're not going to be judged when you come in, which we wouldn't do. You feel confident that you know exactly what to wear. And the clients, they always give us feedback. They say, my God, we see the Body London army going around London. They're in their black skinny jeans. They've got their tote bag. Your guys and girls just look great. They look the part. Okay, so you've signed, you've had your training, then you might start going on castings, booking jobs. We will then get them in 1 month after you have been signed, and we will have a look at the statistics. And that is, what is the conversion rate? How many castings you have been to? But going back a step, we can see how many light boxes you've been sent in. How many?
And what is that?
So that is if a client says, I need a model. So that is basically the dedicated bespoke package that we will give to a client. And going into detail on that, I always want my agency to be fair. We don't have favorites. We don't, you know, have one person always in the light box. And day in, day out, I still get models saying, can I be represented? Can I be put forward for this client? This client. I say, darling, you are. Let me just find and tell you how many times you've been proposed to that. But no other agency can actually have that data to give them. So then how I lay out my light boxes to clients, I need it to be fair. I want, you know, all ethnicities. I don't want to miss anyone. I want everyone to have an equal opportunity. We see how much your casting conversion rate is to jobs, and we will track that versus someone who's similar to you or someone who's a really, you know, high biller at the agency who works a lot, who always gets requested. We will then compare, okay, what is it about her that's good versus you? So we can then give them the tools to succeed. And then it's just constant support and the models knowing exactly who they can go to. They come in, they see model management as soon as they go in. You know, you've got Marcus, Amelie, James, you know where to go. You feel safe. You've got help with your visa, help with their mental health trained. You've got help with accommodation. We now have 2 model houses. We, you know, mentoring that Marcus does day in, day out for people aside from modeling. I mean, I can't tell you. It's something that we always wanted to go into anyway, but it's something organic that happens.
And Marcus is your partner, right? So I think that's a really big point because I know there are a lot of men that own model agencies, but it's something I really like about Body is that you own it together and like he's your husband. Yeah. So it's not like weird. Like I always feel really comfortable talking to him, and he's been honestly so helpful with me building the business. He's given me so much mentoring, and
he's amazing at that. He will always say, he's my biggest fan, he will always say, Body is Gemma's. I just make the tea, but we're such a good team. And I do think that is what makes us different.
Can you explain there about model management and like the bookers and how that's different to other agencies?
Yeah. So I manage my team of bookers. So we look after the clients. So whatever the client wants, myself and my team will get it for them. So I'm at Chilton around the corner all day, every day, meeting them. We have castings in the agency. And then Marcus has his team of model management. So they just look after the models. So, you know, for you, when you were with other agencies, you're getting advice from bookers who probably shouldn't really be giving you advice. And, but also in their defense, they might not have the time to give that to you because they're trying to get you jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're so different. I don't want to not be able to give a model my full attention and my full time. So by splitting that clear divide, it's something that is just so, I can't even speak. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. I think it's really, because it's like companies, it's like HR.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen HR in a model agency ever. And that was when my law job, I was like, there's actually people here that I can go to and talk to and be like, hello, this problem, which is like, it's like that independence.
Yeah. But also, you know, like we said earlier, you might occasionally have people that work for you that might not be perfect or might not hold the same values. And having model management is a safe space for my models to go to and say, actually, I didn't like the way that the booker spoke to me. Whereas at most agencies, they can't say that, because if they dare to say that, they won't be booked. That's not okay. So at Body, we have that safe space that they can go to and they won't be judged and they are listened to.
And what happens if they did say that? Like, have you had a situation like that before?
We have had a few situations before, and, you know, they're maybe not working for me anymore. But when that happened, it's handled very delicately and it's handled correctly, and they're listened to and they're valued and they're not belittled, and it's not their problem. Because, you know, like we said earlier, there's two sides to every story. So, okay, from the booker side, what happened? Talk me through. What am I missing? Because they said this, right? Do you feel confident, model, if we can have a conversation together? No, I respect that. If you do, fantastic. Because sometimes they actually want to hear what they're saying, but sometimes they don't. So it's down to us to really listen to them so they feel they have a voice.
Yeah, I think now I've worked with so many companies and their HR, and it's kind of like creating that psychological safety where people trust that they will actually be heard, and they trust that if they do complain. And obviously, like we talked about, it's hard because your amount of control is limited and how much you can protect models, I guess. So like, have you had any situations that were not acceptable for the model, and like, how do you handle them as the agency?
When we brief our models, we say, no one can ever tell you on a job that you can't use the toilet. Yeah, we will train them at the beginning. We will say, if there's ever a problem, take your phone, go to the toilet and call us, and don't come out until you've spoken to someone. And if you can't get through, call someone else. Do not accept anything less than okay.
Mm.
You know, we are here to support you, but we can't help you after the event. And it does still happen that models might come in and say, oh, this happened. I said, but darling, you've got to call us. This is our job. This is what we're here for. So, and sometimes you do need to, like I said to you on the job that I booked you on, we need to politely, firmly remind the clients of certain basics. They need food, they need water, they need a toilet, they need a rest. And if you don't provide that, we're going to have a problem. But also they won't have a happy model.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, what is your end game? To get beautiful pictures? Well, let's maybe make sure that they're happy. You know, darling, maybe I'll take your phone so you don't need to be on socials, all of these things.
A lot of the pressure that I've experienced has also come from clients. I've had a few clients for quite a few clients, like, be really terrible in terms of weight and, like, really insulting and being like, your face is not symmetrical.
Oh my God.
I had one client, one job where they literally painted my eyebrows black and then were like, they're not the right height. And they spent 3 hours like changing the height of my eyebrows. And I was like, this is your job. Like, it's your fault. It's not my eyebrows' fault. Like, I've never had this problem before. But how do you deal with that? Because I think that was what I meant was like kind of the missing piece often. Like, there's the vulnerability of the models in the first place and like, the fact that they're just being sent out to these jobs with adults who don't realize they're working with like a kid, even if they're 18 years old. And then it's the clients as well who are running companies and often on set, which might cost thousands of pounds. There are all these people there and they don't have time to like make sure that the model is like able to speak up about situations. And I do think it's really hard for them because like, what, you know, when I said, oh, I don't like that dress, it's like, then what do you do if the model like doesn't like the clothes that they're in? But versus that, like, isn't comfortable. Like, I remember a shoot where I had to wear fur coats and I didn't really realize until I got to the shoot anyway, but I also felt so uncomfortable on the shoot. I was like, oh, I just feel like I'm wearing dead animals and I really don't want to be like presenting it. So is that tricky, like, grayish, and they're also paying me in a coat and they're like, I don't want a coat.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I don't want a coat and I don't want to wear these things and like, but I don't know what to do because that doesn't feel like a valid like reason to complain, I guess. And so it's really tricky because you've got the bat, and I think agents have a really tough job if they want to do it in a right way.
Yeah.
To be the middle man between all of these people. So yeah, how do you approach that as an
When we right from the beginning, when we brief them and we train them and we have a conversation with them, you know, what do you feel comfortable doing? What do you not feel comfortable doing? So we put it in their notes. So it is there for all of the bookers to see. And then they don't get put forward for lingerie jobs. They don't get put forward for vape. They don't, they might be a vegan. Of course, you're not going to want to, you know, shoot a KFC commercial. It's just listening to people, really, and asking the questions. I think so many agencies don't ask questions for clients. What is the shoot? Tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be so accepting and red flags. Okay, well, this address, is it a studio? It's not a studio. You need to, we have a duty of care. Like I said, I'm a mum of three young kids. I need to feel confident that any job that we're booking, would I want my child or someone else's child to go to this job? If not, there's a problem. And actually what we're doing recently is I'm encouraging my team to go to the shoots as well, which I think it's good because the models then feel safe. If there's something that maybe we think, okay, they're saying it's a studio or something that we think is 99% fine, but maybe there's that element of not. We're going to go with the model and make sure, and we're going to take them away immediately. But that's so, so, so rare. But you need to have an open dialogue and ask questions and not accept anything less than what you would accept.
Yeah, because I think modeling is a job that people don't think of as like needing extra safeguarding, but actually it does need extra, like, it's really literally does. Involving like people getting naked on set in front of people, doing things they would never be doing in like an office job. And like, it's actually really important to think about these things more so. And especially because it's great that your agents are trained as mental health first aiders. Can I ask, how do you pick which models to bring over to England?
We work with about over 800 mother agents all around the world. I know it's a lot. And I get presented models every day in my inbox, but then I have meetings with model management where I choose. And then it's not just, okay, great, they can fly in. Then James or Amelie on model management will Zoom with them, have a chat. It's quite interesting when you might have an overbearing MA who's on the call and is speaking over the model. So we will try and then organize a one-on-one interview with the model to just make sure that they are okay. All of these basic things that you would want. Whereas that is a red flag. When I talk about red flags, that's often a red flag if the MA is speaking for the model.
Mm.
Okay. we need to just do what we can here. I tend to just know, to be honest. And James will say, I will repeat myself if I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And if I'm not sure, I'm not sure. And generally speaking, it's something I can spot quite quickly. And sometimes I've brought models over, for example, from Nigeria a few years ago. I brought two girls over and they had no pictures, and I just could see their utter confidence in their walk and their Polaroids, and just their energy was outstanding. They just had so much, just so much. And it can be difficult, but I think having models that want to come, are confident and have the support system and the guidance that we give them, you know, we can make people a lot of money. So, but also another thing that is so special, and I tell my team day in, day out, guys, we're changing lives here. You know, like I said, the girls coming over from Nigeria, those two, we changed their life. Mm. They had to borrow money from family members to come over, and they left and they've changed their life for generations to come. And it really is so special. And I think so many people think, oh, it's cool, it's fashion. I think, yeah, it is, but I don't necessarily go, oh my God, I've just seen so-and-so in a magazine. I think she left her child back home and she's come over here and worked her ass off, and she's changed the life of her little boy. Yeah. You know, I think, guys, just take a minute. That's special to me. That means more to me, to be honest, than booking an amazing job. So, yeah.
What do you think makes like a good model, or is like beautiful? Because I think that, again, like, how do you decide that when someone's coming to body and they want to be a model, like, what would you say?
They need to want to be a model. It is not, as you know, more than anyone.
Despite me not wanting to be a model. Like,
you need to work hard. It doesn't just fall in your plate. You know, I need people who want to work hard. They will, you know, pick up the phone and say yes, and they will go there, and they know that we are doing our job to protect them, and what we're going to send them to is safe, etc. But we need energy, and if you have a positive energy, you can kill it, basically. But without that, it won't work, because invariably you will take someone on and laziness might kick in, or, you know, they might have outside factors of a boyfriend or this. So yeah, it really comes down to energy and a want to succeed, to be honest. And we honestly have so many tools to make them so successful, but if you don't listen to our tools, then we can't help you. So it really is teamwork, but by listening and doing all of our little, you know, support systems, you can make a lot of money.
Because what do you think about the question, like, can anyone be a model if they like really want to be? Is determination enough?
Now there's so many different types of models, which is incredible. You know, one of my top billing models is 5'2".
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think this is a great question, to be honest, because this is also why I set up Casting London.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate saying no to people, because who am I to say no? And also, who are the clients to say no? Because you never know. So I created Casting London to give everyone out there the chance to potentially be a model.
And can you explain what Casting London is?
People
that may not know.
Casting London is an online platform where you can sign up and apply directly to jobs. So you might not have specific requirements for quote unquote model agency, but you might have clients. So clients post their jobs on there, and it might be more niche jobs. They might be whatever it is, but it's an amazing community where people can sign up and clients can find models or actors or dancers. And I really just hate saying no to people, because you never know. So to answer your question, you have the standard, you know, model aesthetic, which has definitely changed for the better over the last few years, which is amazing. But I think setting up Casting London has allowed me to give more people opportunity to break into the industry. And often we will sign people from Casting London that maybe we had said no to and maybe they were overlooked. So it's just, it gives more people opportunities.
Yeah, because with Casting London, why would a client like place on there rather than go through you guys?
To be honest, we actually get a lot of clients getting us to post for them on Casting London. So a lot of our clients will say, because of the reach, so we have over 8,000 talent on there.
Wow.
So we end up being the casting director for them. But then you might have clients that have don't know about Body, but know about Casting London. So that probably answers the question. But then our clients that we tell about Casting London will say, actually, can you please post the job and find people ourselves? Or we're going to do that. So they might cast on there to try and find a bigger selection, but also send us the brief, if that makes sense.
I remember when I was writing the book, I was working for a lot of different like apps that I'd set up, which are kind of similar in scope. It was like a marketplace.
Yeah.
And I was actually on a couple of them where like the models could be like work directly with the clients and like book jobs. Yeah. And I remember a model agency that I was working with like on the book, and they were like, that's awful. And they're like, you're going to have Chanel on there posting a job for like £5 and everyone will do it. But I don't think that's happened. It's interesting to watch it because I think that there is, well, it's the value of the model agency, right? Like, what do you think that value is?
Yeah. I think having, like I said earlier, having clients still getting us to post on there and cast, I think that is the value, because the service that we give our clients is beyond. So it's great for maybe a small business if they want to really have a big, big, wide cast, and it might be quite a small rate that might not be enough. And I might say, actually, I don't think that that's going to be, you know, okay. And I might just give you a few, but that gives the client the potential to find as many people as they can. But I think it's more just giving opportunity to people. For me, that's how I see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it so much as, and I'm not afraid. I mean, it speaks volumes. I'm not afraid, because why would I have done it otherwise? So it's just giving opportunity to people. Again, coming back to kind of the values of me and my business, and I just care. So it's not that I'm afraid of clients going on there and the rates going down or whatever. Well, no, let's just give people the opportunity to make more money. You could be working in Costa and think, okay, let me just sign up to Casting London. Oh my God, I've just booked a woman. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think the fact it is run by an agency is really good for people on that both sides, because I think there is a real value in having an agency where they can like make sure it's all the things that you've described, but like make sure that what you're going to, you understand and you're looked after. And then also for the client in the model, because I want to touch on the social media aspect. I remember when I was writing the book, one of the owners of one of the best model agencies in the world said, he said, having a model agency when Instagram was invented is like having a horse when the car was invented. And I was like, oh, good. Yeah, because essentially Instagram does that. Like, people can book directly on jobs, and we see all these like kind of influencers.
We, again, going back to how we brief and we speak to our models, we will say, you will have people, I can guarantee, that we've suggested you to, that will try and go around us and go to you. But don't do that, because then we can't vet them. If that happens, then I can't support you. So, but of course, sometimes they'll come in and say, oh, this happened. We'll say, but, you know, so it happens less and less, and our models are amazing, and they will say, oh, by the way, so and so has just contacted us. And it sometimes is quite awkward when you say to the client, look, can you not do that? But often it might be a younger team member that thinks, oh, this is fine, I can just go direct because I'm just going to DM them. But it's also an amazing thing, Instagram, because it's given models a voice and a personality.
How important is models' Instagram and followers?
It's important, but it's not the be all and end all, to be honest. We're not an agency that will say, you don't have an Instagram, you need to do this and you need to do this. And I think it is good to look at your Instagram and be professional on your Instagram. So we will analyze it with them, but at the end of the day, it is them. But we might say, okay, maybe it's not a good look if you're, you know, posting XYZ of you hanging out of a club. It is important, and it can be a powerful tool for them to make more money. So that can be incredible. Yeah. But again, like I said, to people out there listening, don't think you need to have tens of thousands of followers. You don't. It's something that can come, or it might never come, and that's okay.
Yeah, because actually that was a good place to kind of end on, which is weight. Why is weight so big in modeling? Like, what is the obsession with weight, and model agencies telling, and clients are telling models to lose weight? Like, why do they want people so thin? Like,
what upsets me is when I get, like I said, most of my board, 89% is international. So I will have these models fly in and they will be so terrified of what their agents have said to them before. You need to lose weight and your hips need to be this. And I will say to them, darling, I couldn't care less. I could not care less. We're going to measure you because we have to measure you, because we need to know what dress size you are so that it's not uncomfortable when you're going to book a job. I don't want you turning up and you're a size 10 and they put you in size 8. That's not a nice thing for you to go through. But I don't care if you gain weight. Doesn't matter. But there's so many agencies around the world that measurements are everything. They couldn't care less about who you are, what you're about. It's purely your measurements. It's unacceptable. Why? Because, you know, certain brands still make their clothes very, very slim, and that's fine. But there's many other brands that that doesn't matter about. And I'm not going to say to you, lose weight to work with that client.
Yeah.
And I also, I want to make sure that you're not trying to stay slim.
You know?
But I have loved it over the past few years, to be honest. Clients won't book models with bony chest bones and too thin. Yeah. So if you see too many bones here, not good. And if your arm is too thin, not good, which is amazing. And for years, it was the other way around. So that's good. But I think it's being supported as a model at an agency that you feel safe in. Everyone as a female goes ups and downs. We all, you know, have our time of the month. So you will gain weight. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does not matter. I could not care less.
Yeah. That's what made me so angry about the industry, especially because I'd be measured and then I would see people around me that were like weighing themselves. And I was like, I've literally never been weighed as a model. I get measured, which is even worse because it's like, it depends on where someone holds the measuring tape on you. Like, it's completely different from one day to the other. Okay.
So
I would love to ask you just to share, what is the best part about running a modeling agency of Body London, and what is the hardest or worst part?
Good question.
Sorry.
It's okay. The best part I touched on earlier is changing lives, really. That is everything to me. Oh, emotional.
Do you have a favorite moment? Like a thing you're most proud of?
Gosh, I have a few. One of my models, Faith, she came over just after COVID and she worked her butt off for about 4 months. And I was in the office one day. My kids were there because it was the second lockdown. And she came in, we were talking. She just started crying because Coco, one of my girls, sat next to me. And then I find out that she's left her 10-month-old boy in South Africa. Mm. And not once had she told me, not once has she moaned. She was working so hard. And I thought, this is everything. We have to work together here to really change your life. And she is a very emotional story for me, and she means the world to me. And it's things like that really make you think, okay, hang on a minute, we're not just booking models, we're not just running a business, we're changing lives.
Yeah.
And not in a patronizing way, because I love it, you know, and we really give the tools to people to succeed.
Yeah, as I say, if you hadn't booked me on those jobs a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been able to set up my business or leave the abusive situation I was in or get placed around.
Really?
Leave my job. And that's why, like, modeling is really, really fortunate to be able to do it. What's the hardest thing have experienced as well?
The hardest thing is when it's hard, it's full on, but I love what I do. And I think it's when you take people on to work alongside you that you think have the same morals as you, and then they don't. And then obviously you have to let them go. And I think that's like running any business.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's really, really hard.
What is something about the industry that you think should change?
Mm-hmm.
And a follow-up part is, what is something that is changing about the industry that you don't think should change?
What do I think should change? I think how models are treated should change. I think people need to listen to them and not treat them as a product.
I agree.
I think a lot of agencies out there, like you said, they might put a label on it, but do they have the core values? I think you need to have people at the core of the business who care. And if you don't have that, it won't change.
There should be something in the contracts, like some kind of oversight. Or I think basically model agencies should become more like general companies where there's like a HR and like a contract. You know, there's a reason that company contracts, employment contracts do not have like, we can just get you into debt of your life, like, you know, unfair. And I think that balance and power needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Because until that is addressed, like, it's going to just continue to allow kind of bad actors to come into the industry. And it doesn't matter how many good ones there are, there'll always be people taking advantage of those who are desperate to be a model for whatever reason. So,
an industry body, to be honest, we need to, and I know this is something you've been campaigning for years, and also we did think to join one, but then actually it wasn't maybe all it was cracked up to be. So I think it's, but then it's having the time and it's really setting something up. But I think it's only so many hours in the day. I know what we're doing is great, but I do think the government needs to set something up to have some boundaries where people can't just create a model agency overnight. You need to have checks and balances. What are you doing to support the models, you know?
Yeah, I think there should be licensing.
All we can do is what we are doing, which is different.
And what do you think is changing about the industry that you don't think should be changing?
Wow, what do I think is changing about the industry that I don't think should be changing? I mean, AI, we can talk about AI. I think that's a big topic that everyone is scared to talk about and nobody knows what it's about. But I think clients need to be careful. And I think, you know, I have confidence in them because they will want to still be booking real people. So being very careful to not create these perfect avatars. And what message is that sending to our children, our children's children? We need to just be very careful. So I think that is something that we all need to be aware of.
Yeah. And the only benefit, I think, or the good sign is that if they start using AI models, it's kind of all of their jobs will also be lost. Like the photographer, the photoshopper, the hair makeup, like, yeah, it'll cut costs, but then no one has a job anymore. And then it's only a matter of time before your job is also taken.
But clients need to prove their product on a real person, and we buy in to people. So I think you might have certain companies that will do it, and that might be fine for them. But I think a lot of people will take a stand, and that will be their, you know, PR angle. No, we're different. We book real models, real people.
Real human beings. Yes. We're looking for a real person, not an AI. Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. AI it can be amazing if it's used correctly. But I think it just needs to be used carefully.
I think it's so good how I remember going to a casting a year ago and like there were models of all different shapes and sizes, which is really, really amazing to see.
Yeah.
But I think there's this real trend towards everyone basically looking the same now, ironically, because I think it's like almost when diversity is made into like fashion trends, there's always something a bit icky and weird about it because it then goes out of fashion. And I think I saw in the last fashion week, like everyone looked very thin again on the catwalk. But especially with this kind of like Botox, social media, like I think the blend, kind of what you said, AI and social media, Instagram, TikTok into modeling, it is making whole generations of people really sick. Because like, whereas you could only have seen a billboard of Kate Moss, very thin, whatever, 20 years ago, or you see her in a magazine, if you pick up the magazine to look at it now, I think the more that companies, and it's a really hard balance to get right, but the more that they're using people, whether they are AI created or people like Kim Kardashian, who has obviously had surgery but doesn't talk about it publicly, and you hold them up as like the standards that people should be achieving, and like, you know, kids have got phones, they're being targeted day and night by these standards that literally just don't exist.
Yeah,
I think the more that brands can use real people, like it's ironic to say that after we were just said about what is a real woman, but I mean like human beings who are not like looking just like perfect or like looking like a filtered avatar, but like actual just real human being. I think one of the things I always found in modeling was like, you can either be a size zero or a plus size model. Like you can be a size zero or size 12 basically, but you can't just be like a normal human being that, like, not to say those people aren't normal, but you can't just be yourself. And I think the more that they can use people that actually also stand for things and like the values that relate to what they want to promote is a really good way to go. But
I do agree, it's frightening when if my phone is there and my kids are not on, they don't have phones, they're not on social media. If TikTok's there, one of my kids will just grab it and try a little video and the filters, and then they'll say, oh my god, look at me, and I will take it away immediately. It's a terrifying message to be sending. And actually, when I get all these applications every day from people trying to be a model, I have noticed people becoming the same.
Yeah.
Everyone looks the same now. Mm-hmm. You've got these nose jobs and these lips and these, it's just like, please.
It's mad, isn't it?
Have a bigger nose. That's normal. Have smaller lips. That's normal. It's a very odd thing to see on a, you know, on my screen, so many people all looking the same. And actually the other day I was like, James, can you just come here? I'm literally, is this one person? He was like, no.
I think it's, that is what our industry is like.
And that is not a good message. And I think that's where we need to be very careful with AI to push against that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like using real human beings.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they're right in their own way.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's
hard.
I think especially when you're doing something like this, with working with like vulnerable people and in an industry that is so broken and doing like the right thing or trying your best to do things in the way that is actually like decent.
I would say that probably also one of the hardest is to be able to give my time to all of my models. And also I want everything to be fair and I want everyone to get an equal chance. So I will beat myself up if, you know, we've had a casting in the office and I maybe spoke to someone and then I think, oh my God, I didn't speak to everyone else, please don't hate me, you know.
That's exactly what I'm like now running a business. I'm like, I talked to this, I gave this coach a compliment, I need to give all these people, like, oh my god,
it's the pressure and it's never ending, but I absolutely love it.
Well, thank you for doing it, like, it's-